If you've tried taking public transit recently, chances are you've been on an overcrowded bus, or a late bus, or stuck on the sidewalk watching the late overcrowded buses pass you by. Frontline transit workers have launched a campaign to address these problems and other transit safety concerns. Think 50 is an initiative of CAW Local 111, the unit that represents Lower Mainland bus drivers. Jim Houlihan is Vice President of CAW Local 111, and he joins me now in the studio. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Can you explain what exactly is Think 50?
It's a safety awareness campaign. It sees our officers, our safety reps, our scheduling reps out on the road on our busy routes, in busy loops, raising awareness of the issues, support for our operators, trying to urge them and educate them not to succumb to the pressures given these overcrowded conditions, pressures that may see them want to speed up to make unrealistic schedules work, overload their buses to try and accommodate passengers that have been waiting for some time, or go long periods without adequate rest or washroom break. It also gives us the opportunity to interact with our ridership in the loops and on the routes and talk to them about why their service is so terrible, and if they share our concerns, what they can do to help lobby to improve it now rather than later.
Why are buses getting more crowded?
Simply, ridership has gone through the roof. The U-Pass, the price of gas. In 2002, Coast Mountains buses carried 160 million boarded passengers in the year of 2002. By 2004, that had jumped to 191 million, more than 30 million more passengers on our buses in a year in just a two-year period. It represents a combined 20% increase in ridership just in a two-year period. And at the same time, they gave us less than 4% increase in service to meet that demand, and about 24 more vehicles to meet the rush hour demand. And that was onto a system that already had routes that were overcrowded. So it's just made horrendous conditions for the passengers and horrendous health and safety conditions for our operators.
Are there any particular routes or times of day that are particularly underserviced?
The rush hour overcrowding is very significant. We've got lots of routes in the off-peak and in the evening and on weekends that are overcrowded and passing up. In Vancouver and Burnaby, the central core, that's the worst hit routes, but we've also got five or six routes in Surrey passing up in the evening. North Vancouver, the 25 King Edward, the 41st, the 49th going to UBC, 98 B-line, 99 B-line from Richmond and across Broadway to UBC. Talked to a driver yesterday, left Broadway station full and didn't pick up again. Went express all the way to UBC, passing up everybody all the way along Broadway. So those are some of the worst routes, but it's throughout the system, really.
What are the dangers of overcrowding for the drivers?
Well, it represents a vision problem, a control problem. You get too much weight over the front axle. It affects the braking time of a vehicle, the handling of a vehicle. You get people in the stairwell or past the red line that can impair the driver's vision to the right side. So, you know, there's a very serious safety issues. The buses have capacity weights, by the manufacturer and by law. Unfortunately, our system, it's just a case of anybody behind the red line is okay. So you can actually put more people on a bus behind the red line than what the GVW allows. And, of course, it's very difficult for the driver and the passenger to administer that. If you're a passenger out there, been passed up by two or three buses, and finally a bus stops and the front door cracks open, well, the obvious human nature is to try and get on that bus. You're already late for school, late for work. And then the driver has to ask them or try and ask them to leave because the bus is overcrowded. In fact, that volatile situation has led to several assaults recently just out of the frustration.
And so drivers have been assaulted by passengers because they can't get on the bus?
Yeah, it just leads to an escalating situation. The driver is probably stressed out, hasn't had a break for several hours. The passenger's frustrated. So you've got two people pitted against each other, neither one of whom is responsible for the situation they find themselves in. And it's a very serious problem out there. And so we've mounted this campaign to bring awareness to it, to try and urge our operators to make sure they are taking rest and washroom breaks as required, to make sure they're in a state of mind to safely operate the vehicle. And like I say, trying to educate the public as to why this service is like that and what they can do to help us. And we're urging them, if they share our concerns, to contact their TransLink director in their area or their municipal elected representatives. Certainly we think this will also be an issue in the municipal campaigns coming up throughout the region about what these prospective candidates intend to do about this situation. TransLink themselves conducted their own capacity study in June and submitted a report to the board that cited some 58 routes as overcrowded. Yet the plan to improve that, a lot of those routes aren't even scheduled to see additional service to ease the problem until 08, 07. We were hoping to get 100 expansion buses here next fall. It was iffy if that order was even going to be able to be filled in time to get here by next September, because they plan to expand UPass to colleges and communities, and we don't have the capacity to deal with them. Now, with the TransLink board's decision in July to make those buses CNG only, that's going to delay the order. They made this decision halfway through the procurement process, so they'll have to relet the RFP. Now, there's no question those additional buses that will give us some relief won't get here till 07. And we're simply saying it's not acceptable to leave this condition out there like this for another 2 years before there's any relief. So we are saying that TransLink should recognize the seriousness of this issue and get off their butt and find some buses to lease in the interim until we can get these new bus orders here.
And have they responded to this?
Not that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. They're just out there with their silly PR that they're going to buy 1,000 buses. Well, that's 1,000 buses over the next 8 or 9 years. And even that order is far less than any plan called for what the region needs. The bus system carries 75% of the ridership every day, yet we're the poor second cousin to rail, and that's one of the problems.
During a normal working day, when do bus drivers get scheduled breaks?
They only get scheduled breaks at the end of the line if they're on time. Transit workers, public transit workers, are exempt under the Labor Standards Act for the provision of a break every 2.5 hours or a lunch break every 5, simply because of the reality of our occupation. So for a driver to get a break, you need to get to the end of the line on time, and there may be 8, 10, 12 minutes built into the schedule to ensure that the bus is on time coming back. Well, if the bus arrives 10 minutes late, the bus driver is expected just to carry on and keep on going to try and maintain the schedule. So, I'm talking to my members that are going 6 and 7 hours without a rest break or a lunch break. If they run to the washroom, that just makes them 5 or 6 minutes later. So it's very frustrating. It's a health and safety issue for us. Our absenteeism is going up. Assaults are going up. Passenger complaints are up. So it's a very unhealthy situation for our members.
As well as monitoring crowding and the number of people on the bus, the drivers also monitor fare, what people are paying. Are drivers supposed to be fare enforcers?
No. We've had to adjust that policy over the years because of the increase in assaults and disputes, and some 70% of them or so arise out of a fare issue. So unlike years ago, the policy of Coast Mountain now is the driver is to inform, not enforce. So if you don't have a fare, don't have the whole fare, we're simply to advise you of what the fare is and then disengage at that point. It's gotten to the point that even doing that sometimes creates confrontation. And we do have the most convoluted, complicated fare structure in North America, which we've been asking to have streamlined and redefined, zones, concession fares. So that is a big source of the problem. And as a result, a lot of drivers have just, thrown up their hands trying to deal with it. It's simply not worth it. And am I going to delay 50 people on a bus, having some set to at the front of the bus over a quarter? It's just not worth it. It's not practical. But human nature is what it is. Some of our members still think that is part of their job. Some of the public think that's what we're supposed to be doing. And it puts the driver between a rock and a hard place. It's just some people will say, stop hassling the person for a quarter. Others will say, you're not doing your job because you're not collecting the fare. Other systems have tried to develop a process that simply takes the driver out of that, whether it's London where they have conductors to collect the fares. The increase in monthly passes has helped a lot, and the more people we can get using those where it's just a show and go and they don't have to interact with the box or add any fare, that's really helpful to us.
Has TransLink responded to your concerns about the fare and the fare schedule?
No. We actually submitted a brief on an idea of how to improve the fare structure system, and that was not even responded to. BC Transit actually in 96-97 undertook to redefine the fare structure. That went nowhere. TransLink was supposed to do it in 2000. Nothing's come out of it. So we're still plagued with this silly, cumbersome system, which also presents all sorts of inequities for the riding public. If you live right near a zone boundary and have to cross a zone boundary, you may only be on the bus for 15 minutes, but you're paying twice as much as someone who's going in one zone for 40 minutes on the bus. So it's not fair for the passenger either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the Think 50 information flyer, it states that in San Jose in the 1990s, the Workers' Compensation Board actually challenged the scheduling of buses, and the company was forced to reschedule routes so that for the drivers. Is this something that may happen here?
We're always looking for help from the regulatory body that governs health and safety issues. We've just had an operator put in submission to the WCB about the state of the roads on the route, and WCB said, well, we can't tell you not to operate on that route, but we can certainly tell you to give more time because of the condition of the roads. It's a very hard thing for us to do with the WCB. We've not gotten anywhere doing that. It's somewhat not in their jurisdiction. But certainly we're always trying to get them to help us and try and ensure that they have adequate health and safety conditions for these people. I mean, we're carrying the most precious cargo. It's only obvious that these people should be able to do so with the adequate resources and in a safe manner.
Is there anything that you'd like to be seen done immediately? Any changes?
We'd like to see TransLink start searching around. We know there are buses out there to lease and get us some help here in the interim until some more buses can come here to deal with this demand. And maybe get out there and try and help us and give us some more schedule time. It's a question of priorities with what they're doing with their money. They're getting windfall increases here because of the property tax and the property assessments going up. And so that's what we need. We've done this before in the past, leased buses from places like Everett and Seattle, and brought in buses to deal with the overcrowding and to put out better service.
Is this likely to happen?
Given my experience, no, but you can't give up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to do anything without some public pressure. That's the obvious lesson here. These people won't act until there's a fire under their butt. And so we're simply urging our passengers to call these people with their experiences and tell them, what 58 overcrowded routes means to them every day. It means, their tuition is up in the air, can't get to their missing classes, their missing appointments, late for work, and it's just unsafe and uncomfortable. Somebody shouldn't have to pay $3 and stand all the way home to North Vancouver. That's not acceptable.
Is there any way people can support their driver or show their driver that they support them?
Simply understand what we're all dealing with, themselves included, and that it's not the driver's fault that the service is so bad, and support us that obviously we need more buses here, and that's the issue, and certainly it's pretty clear politicians listen to them far more than they listen to us, so we really need their support and phone these politicians with their experiences and just how terrible it is, because very few of the TransLink directors take the bus, so I don't think they really understand what saying 58 routes are overcrowded means out there every day for the riders or the drivers.
And is there anywhere people can get more information?
Yes, there's our website has that. The flyers that we're handing out has all the telephone numbers and the email addresses of the TransLink directors. Going to the TransLink website, which is translink.bc.ca. There's comment areas and complaint forms where they can put that through. They can look at making themselves be a delegation to a TransLink meeting and come and tell the TransLink directors what's going on up there and what they're experiencing. That would be helpful.
Well, thank you for speaking with me this morning.
No problem. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Jim Houlihan, Vice President of CEW Local 111. This is Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.